Hello and welcome to episode one of Rockin' and Talkin'. Yay! Episode one. Wow. I am filled with so much joy as I bring these interviews out to share with the world. And I'm so excited to kick off this podcast with an incredible conversation with one of my friends, Romney Essez. You will find out through this episode her resilience, craftsmanship, and hopes as a musician as the story unfolds. She actually encouraged me to use the interviews I did for my research for more than just the paper. So me turning these interviews into a podcast is all thanks to her encouragement. Thank you, Rom. Now let's get you introduced to Romney. To check out her debut album, Are We There Yet?, check the episode description for a link to rock out to her tunes and to follow her on social media for more.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Welcome, Romney. So the way that I have structured these interviews, they go into three different sections: background, your ideation of success, and what it's like for you being a musician here in Melbourne.
Fine.
So starting off with, how would you describe what you do?
That's funny. I think last year for the first time, I called myself an artist when I released my debut album. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm a musician.
I would hope you would consider.
It's funny because it feels like I'm not a musician when I'm out of release cycle. And I feel like I don't consider myself a recording artist if I'm not doing it actively, which is just a weird brain malfunctioning, I think. But I would describe myself as a musician.
Nice.
In Melbourne.
Beautiful. And then within that, that brings up the following question, which I think will be really interesting to hear your response to it. So would you consider yourself full-time or part-time as a musician?
Well, I think I'm a full-time musician, but then I also work full-time in casual jobs just to sustain being a full-time musician.
Okay.
So I'm cramming 80 hours of work in a week, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're seeing it as like everything that you do, like with the working hours outside of music, that's pretty much the thing that's helping you sustain, like, like income wise with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that part pays my rent and then pays whatever I need extra for music because I wouldn't be able to sustain my musical career with just music, I think.
Yeah.
For now.
And then
hopefully one day
it'll happen. I know it will. And then the question I have following that is, what do you think makes a musician full time?
Well, not having enough. Yeah, I guess I'm going to contradict myself because I would say a full time musician only works full time on music. But I've learned that that's very rarely the case for a lot of musicians, because even my friends who I consider like top tier in Melbourne, they're still having to work extra jobs sometimes, like when they're not releasing music or touring. So I guess being a full-time musician takes, I don't know what it takes to be a full-time musician, like having music on your mind all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. So it's not so much like, yes, the like making income off of music would be nice to have.
Yeah.
But it's more than just that like revenue side. It's like the entire being of a musician.
Yeah. I guess I wake up and I like the first thing I think about is music. And like I would obviously... Oh, not obviously, English. usually, wow, my brain just stopped working. usually I wake up and then I'll write down some lyrics in the morning or like just dingle around on the guitar and play some music. Or if I have a show that night, I'll try and like go for a walk and mentally prepare myself for that.
Wow. That's so interesting because you are the first one out of everyone that I've talked to that considers themselves a full-time musician based off of what you just said about like the thinking and the writing and doing all these different things. And I think you brought up something that's really interesting of just understanding there's one side where I think it's more maybe like the music industry views it as like, yeah, you need to have like financial blah, blah, blah to be full time. But it, there's a lot more that goes into that. That's not even money related in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think it's, it obviously flicks for me as well. Like, yeah, yeah. Because some days I'm like, I'm not a musician. Mm. I don't do this. Mm. But I think for now I'm in this state of mind where I have had some financial success in music. Yeah. I've had some, I guess, industry success, mm, which then is external validation for, yeah, being, yeah, a musician. So therefore I consider myself a musician, but then I'm trying to get away from that mindset because I don't want it to be just for external validation.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I'm trying to get back to the core of why I want to be a musician, which, mm, is an outlet and writing music and community. And I have both those things. Yeah. So then I think that makes me, I'm getting so philosophical. No, that makes me great. A musician because I do have a music community, yeah, and I do write songs. Mm. So then I should consider myself an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's so good to hear. And I think that just sets up so much to like for how things should be considered when it comes to being a musician and like juggling that external thing that like, mm, one, you definitely want to have that external validation because it,
you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's also on the flip side of like, what are the things that are like driving you to be a musician, like your core why? And then it's just that relationship of like, well, the music industry wants to see this, but you also know that like there's these maybe like the different feelings and things that you want to have,
yeah,
from doing music and just being connected to things. Ooh.
I think that's the problem with our industry as well, because, mm, not everyone can be a musician according, mm, to the industry standards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's quite hard to find that balance. But then if you, I don't know where I'm going with my thoughts, but once you start seeing yourself as an artist, mm, and you are creating, I think you are an artist.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a full-time musician or artist to be able to be an artist. Mm. But then if you're doing it kind of full, if your brain is there constantly, then I, yeah, guess you are a full-time musician.
Mm.
But then it's also, yeah, if not enough money comes in, mm, then that's another question. So it's like, it's very contradictory,
yeah,
with the two things. Interesting.
Yeah. That you started us off in such a great way. Like that's so good. And a question,
you've got me on a good day.
Yeah. I'm like, yes.
Last week I would have been like, I'm not a musician. Everything sucks.
Which I think is a representation of just how, like you said, how it like flips back and forth, oh, yeah, of just like you trying, like you're trying to make sure like there's that balance of like, this is why I'm doing it. But then when like sometimes the standards of what the music industry wants, whether it's the global music industry or the Australian music, mm, industry, it's trying to balance of like, well, if I don't meet these standards, what does that mean for me? But, yeah, also having this whole thing of like, well, I'm doing music because I have a passion for it. Like it connects me to something. Yeah. So it's kind of trying to find that balance of like, well, how do I maintain, I don't know, like identity within it, while also try not to lose your identity because of what the industry says. You know, I'm doing air quotes and everything with, yeah, like what a musician should be.
Yeah. It's so hard because I think, how do I frame this? It's as if we're made to feel less by the music industry sometimes, mm, because if we don't make a certain amount of money, mm, which is notoriously hard as a musician because, yeah, life has gotten more expensive, but none of the music wages have gone up. In, mm, fact, we've been paid less. Like I have been paid less,
mm,
because bars cannot afford it,
yeah,
to have musicians on. So then they're like, well, we're cutting down the fees for musicians. But then, mm, if you look at that, that just sucks for us because,
yeah,
I still have to pay my session musicians in my band.
Yeah.
And their wages are not going down because I get paid less.
Mm. What's the fee that you are getting now, if you don't mind me asking?
It just varies, but I made an agreement with my booker, like just for us two, that we're not going to charge less than $440 for a band show, just because I pay my band members and then my booking agent's fee. And with that fee, I'm not even paying myself. I'm just paying everyone else.
Yeah.
Which I technically shouldn't do as well, because then how am I going to sustain myself? And that's the thing that I need to learn for me as an artist, because if I don't get paid, why is everyone else getting paid? Because if you look at it from an outsider's perspective, those people only get paid because I get a job.
Yeah.
But then if I don't pay myself, then I don't know how I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So then how am I going to pay everyone else around me in the future? So yeah, it's just like a hard thing. And I think that's where I hit my glass ceiling for myself.
Yeah.
Because as I'm growing as a musician, I need to learn to set boundaries. Oh, the joy of being an adult.
Yeah. And an adult musician.
I'm learning the school of life.
But even within that, it's a very common thing where we see with musicians and like who are having to also pay like the rest of their band to not pay themselves.
Yeah.
Which I think is just very interesting. But I also know like it's very caring and like wanting to make sure everybody gets their fair share. And I just find it really interesting that like there's this phenomenon going on, and it's not just like it's impacting all musicians here, where like venues are not able to pay.
Yeah.
And I know there's this new thing that's being advocated for with like that $250 rate.
Yeah. Which I don't, in all fairness, I cannot even pay my session musicians $250 a gig. It's just it's impossible right now.
Yeah. And do you find yourself being more selective about the shows that you're playing because of that?
Yeah. I said no to at least like 10 gigs this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So is that just based off of the fee, or also like where they're being, like potentially like what venues they're at?
I think it's like, I have a rule for myself that it needs to like hit one of the three things, which is like, is it gonna either pay or is it gonna give me like some really big exposure that I would do it for free, knowing that it'll lead to like
something
future
else.
Opportunities or is it like my friends, and do I really want to do it for like a charity or something?
Yeah.
So like I've played a Gaza fundraiser for free this year, and then I was going to pay my band members, but then they waived their fees because they cared about the subject as well. Yeah. So like that's like the only time where I will not like care about like not paying my band members. But I have played shows for free as well this year for myself. But yeah, so like I follow that new rule and it's kind of doing me well.
Okay.
Just like learning about that.
Yeah.
I think my friends, the Velvet Club, told me about that rule. And like I've just been religiously following it since.
Yeah, I feel like that's a fair thing. And that's something that I've been noticing too, is like just with like other musicians, like the people that we know, also being very selective about what they're playing in terms of just finding the right audiences, like getting that exposure that they want, but also ensuring that they're getting paid fairly. Which I'm really happy to hear that you have like your own standards and what that means for you.
And that's only since like this year, ever since the album came out. Like I just had to, because I was playing every show that I got offered, and then it just like degenerated. Like it kind of destroyed my soul a little bit, like playing for an empty room or playing a cover gig for 3 hours and like people asking if I can play Wonderwall. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Yeah. And it also makes sense, like, I mean, that was your album, like wanting to like promote it and everything. Yeah. So I understand like why you're wanting to play all those shows. Are there like now going forward, are there certain venues you would like to play at?
Wouldn't or would?
Would.
Oh, there's so many. Like I think Norcut Social was like my first milestone that I hit. And now I'm just like looking ahead and I'm like, I would love to play the Forum or I'd love to play the Corner. But I just think that that's like a little bit further ahead. And okay. I like don't want to. I think with the first album, I wanted to rush everything. And then my friend and co-producer Gormi was like, things take time.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to accept that. But I feel like I've now accepted it.
Yeah.
And now that I'm nearly finished recording my second album, I'm like, okay, things take time. I'm going to sit on this. I want to plan. I want to strategy. Wow.
You're doing it. It's okay.
Yeah, and just letting things come to me a little bit rather than pushing myself in front of people. Which, yeah, I think my mentor told me, do less to do more. And I'm really trying to like embrace that.
Yeah, like having a lot more intentionality with what's coming up next. And then just seeing how that pans out for what's going to happen next in your career.
Yeah, because there is so much noise on the internet, like TikTok. Like you have to produce content all the time, which I don't think is like sustainable for a career artist. Yeah. And I definitely want to be a career artist. Like I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, just going to try and take it a bit more slow.
Yeah. As you
I sound like I don't know who I am.
No.
Like, what is wrong? Romani. I used to rush everything. Now I'm like zen.
Yeah. And I think it's the important thing of like allowing yourself to develop in other ways. Like music is a part of you, but also allowing yourself to realize like in order to have this thing that's such a big part of yourself, like what does it mean to actually nurture it in a way that you feel like one, it's going to be good for your well-being, but also going to be good for what's, you know, you're just your career longevity in general, like wanting to be intentional with it, which I think is beautiful.
I know. I don't even understand myself at this point. But yeah, I just want to be able to write as well, because I just look back at the last few months that I had and I've been so busy and so chaotic. And I haven't had time to write. And last week I was in Sydney for a mentorship. The mentors were like, you have to write 3 songs a week. And I was like, I haven't written a song in a month, which I usually write a song a week. But to hear like you have to write 3 songs a week, I was like, oh, my God, I actually have to sit down and be creative. But then amongst working 80 hours to financially sustain yourself is like... way.
Did they give any suggestions on like how to find that balance of writing that much while you're also, you know, trying to, you are working to make sure that you can, you know, just sustain yourself as a person?
Well, I think the focus on that mentorship was a lot about like deals with labels and management. And I think all 10 of the mentees last week, none of us had a record deal. So we were all just like, well, this sounds amazing, but like, how are we going to get there?
Yeah.
And the consensus was that people will come to you, but it's just that waiting game, and not even waiting game. It's like the hard work.
Yeah.
And then when you're ready, people will come to you. So I feel like I just have to keep doing what I'm doing right now and fit in writing 3 songs a week in the 80 hours of work.
And like, the thing that you said, like when you're ready, people will come to you. Is that just based off of how much you're writing and the like?
I have no idea. That's the mystery of the music industry.
Well,
if you have an idea, please let me know.
Because I find that to be, I mean, no matter what, there's always going to be this like vagueness that's attached to a lot of the stuff that happens.
And, I think so, yeah.
But then even within that, the whole thing of like people will come to you. Knowing that things are really oversaturated, it's like, what does it mean for you to find your way to stand out?
Well, that's, I don't know. And I'm clueless in all of that because I feel like I have definitely hit a glass ceiling and I have done everything that I could with this first album.
Yeah.
And surely it could have done better. Like I could have been with Sabrina Carpenter right now, like if it was blowing up, but it hasn't. And it's okay. Like the album's out and I'm proud of it. So I feel like I hit my target with that.
Yeah.
But it's also like, must have meant that I'm not ready for the music industry because no one's given me a label deal. So yeah, I don't have the answer to that, which is like the sadness of the industry as well at the same time.
Which makes me like, it's one of those things where I am very aware that all these people that I've interviewed, including yourself, are very talented. You all make good music.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And so it's one of those things of trying to figure out like,
why is it not there?
Yeah, what's happening?
That's the thing. And like, in all fairness, like I am fine today, but last week I was crying that like my album didn't do better than it did. Mm. And it's like, that's like the bipolar of the fucking music industry. Sorry, I swore.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, because it is, we are made to believe that we are not good enough if we don't have this massive deal, or if because you're always made to compare yourself, which I definitely disagree with, because I think there's a place for everyone in the music industry.
Yeah.
And even the mentorship in Sydney last week showed me that all 10 of us were so different, and it actually showed me that there is a place for everyone in the music industry, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
And that just gives me the freedom to love everyone's music that I want to love. Yeah. And then I can celebrate that, but also like celebrate my own music and try to push it.
Yeah.
Which I think is what music should be about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is hard. It's very up and down, and it's very grim, like financially at sometimes.
Yeah.
But we have to keep going, and then one day someone will give us a bag of money when we're ready.
He's like, I'm ready now.
Yeah, push the buzzer.
Yeah, like give me this. Oh, this is so, it's so good to hear all of this and just getting an idea of like what's been going on with you, and kind of gonna backtrack a lot from like now.
Yeah,
so how long have you done music?
Only like 6 years, I guess, release, because I released my first song in June 2019.
Okay.
Which is not that long ago. That's 6 years. See, 5 years.
About?
5 years? Yeah. Like not that long ago.
No.
But I like, I saw a post on Facebook today, 12 years ago, I sang actually a song of Angus and Julia Stone at a conference for like, I was in the European Youth Parliament, and that's 12 years ago. So I like have always been loving music, and like I played covers, which is funny because the mentorship was with Angus and Julia Stone, and it's like full circle moment.
Wow, yeah.
But I feel like in my mind, I've been doing music only for like about 6 years because I played at an open mic night in Ghent in like the start of 2019, someone saw me there, recorded a video. That video was seen by a festival programmer in Belgium. And then I played a festival in May 2019. And then from that moment, like played gigs every week in Belgium. And then I left to Australia in October 2019.
Yeah. How was it for you going from Belgium to Australia and keeping up with music and, you know, leading to where you are now?
Well, it was... In my mind, it made sense to like go from Belgium to Australia and be a full-time musician. I was like, okay, I'm so ready for this. And then I got here and I was like, oh my God, everyone's a musician and everyone's really talented. Mm. And I like don't have any skills. Like, I couldn't even play bar chords. I was like, what am I thinking? And then I started busking.
Yeah.
And I was hating it. I was like, no one's listening to me. Mm. I'm very soft. Like I sang really softly at the start. And made very like small, soft folk music. And I was like, no one's listening to me. What am I doing? So I thought I had like committed musical suicide by moving from Belgium to Australia. But then started working in music marketing and then landed a job at a company in Brunswick that was doing live streaming right before lockdown.
Oh, cool.
And just from there met a bunch of really cool musicians, fell back in love with music, recorded my first EP in the middle of lockdown, and then started writing this album without knowing that it was an album.
Yeah.
And then met Gormi after lockdown. Mm-hmm. And then, in 2021, recorded this album. And then just from then on, I think I started seeing like a path for myself in music, which now is like so clear.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't know what I wanted to do. Like apart from being a musician, I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
Yeah.
But 5 years ago, if you would have told me that, I'd be like, huh, are you crazy? Like,
what? What do you mean I'll be in Australia?
It's so funny because I actually, so in my hometown right now, there's like Hansefesten, which is a 10-day party in the city. And my friend sent me a really drunk photo of him and a guy without any subcontext. And I was like, what is wrong? And then the day after, he's like, I met an Australian and he knew you. He knew about your music. And I was like, that is insane. If I would have heard that 5 years ago, I'd be like, I've made it.
Yeah.
Which now is like, oh, yeah. Like, I was still like very taken by it. Yeah. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's okay. Like, you're like, okay. So it's like, that's the thing. Us as musicians, we set goals for ourselves. Yeah. We hit the goals and then we just fucking move the goals. And it's like, it's so unsustainable.
Mm.
But it's also like how you progress in life, I guess. But I am trying to write down whenever I hit a target, actually write it down and be like, hey, I am proud of myself.
Yeah. I've
achieved this.
Yeah.
And then whenever I feel down about it, I look back and be like, oh, hang on. I did get a nomination for this, or I won this prize.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just trying to, like, get my mind in a little bit of a healthier space.
Yeah, like giving yourself nice little reminders of, like, you have had achievements and you will have achievements.
Yeah.
And allowing some grace in between where, you know, there might be some setbacks or things you didn't expect to happen. Oh, yeah,
because every 100 emails that I send, I get one yes, but the 99 no's hit hard.
Yeah.
Still. And, like, every time I get rejected for Big Sound or South By, like, I'm really doubting myself as a musician.
Mm.
But then I'm like, okay, it's just an industry thing.
Yeah.
These people choose other artists for a reason, and they all deserve it. It's not because I don't get it that I don't deserve it.
Yeah.
I just need to remind myself because otherwise I spiral and then I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Because even like I know like, you know, being a part of a big conference or like festival is a big deal that helps with exposure, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's like the necessarily like, you know, gatekeeper or whatever to like get you to where you want to go.
But it is a thing.
But it doesn't mean that you aren't good or anything if you don't get it.
Yeah, I think I always give myself a week because I was really depressed the week that the Big Sound thing came out. And I was like, oh, again, fifth year in a row, I didn't get it. But that's the way life is. And like, that's fine.
Yeah. You're finding resilience in there somewhere.
That skin is so thick. oh, God.
And now, because we've talked so much, which has been really good, and I've enjoyed that.
Sorry for the transcription.
No. It's going to be lovely because part of this thing is like allowing just to have these like really natural conversations come up, and I get a lot more out of those. Yeah. But I am going to ask one scripted question.
Yes.
What are three things that you consider makes a musician successful, just in your opinion?
It's something I think about a lot. I guess recognition from the industry through, I guess, awards or being a feature album at PBS or getting some external validation from someone in the music industry.
Yeah.
And then I guess being respected by your peers and being taken on like supports.
Yeah.
If you've supported an idol, then you are successful, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess just loving the music that you put out, maybe that's the main thing, which I had to learn because I think I was for a long time writing to be loved by the industry. And then with my debut album, I scaled it back and I was like, hold on, I am writing for myself, which was like a first premonition, I guess, in my debut album, and my second album is just for myself.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if anyone will like it because it's about my trauma in my life and it's just for me.
Yeah.
But then whenever I play some of these songs live, people are like, what the hell? What is this? I need this song. So I guess, yeah, just love the music that you put out and then people will resonate with it if they want to.
Yeah. Oh, I love that because that's such a big thing, like, that has been popping up in the conversations that I've been having as well, is about like the authenticity of writing and what it means to be sustainable within that. Because what you said about like writing for what the music industry might want to hear.
Oh yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, that's been the consensus. It's like,
because that's not sustainable. No. You can't, like, you can only be you in music.
Yeah.
And then no one else will be you. Like, if you're doing that exactly, writing with your own voice and your own true self, that's the only reason you're going to connect to people, because otherwise people see fucking right through it.
Yeah. And I think that's even with the whole other thing of like, you know, getting that peer recognition, then will like allow the other people within the music community that you're making that like, okay, this is actually who you are. And because we could see who you are, that creates that connection, which eventually can lead to like these other things that maybe could lead to like that external like thing that music industry can give, like awards or like whatever that may be.
Yeah.
And I do agree, it starts with just being very authentic and real with yourself, because I think one of the things that's popped up a lot is you know, Triple J and kind of like how other people have seen people like really take their music and make it something that Triple J will only want to hear.
Mm.
And then they get locked in this loop of like, oh, now I just make this music, but it's not really me. And I think the fact that you are sticking to your guns and like being, this is who I am and how I want to make my music, and this is how I want to tell my story and everything, I think like way on like down the line, I think no matter what, you're going to feel so good. I'm assuming you're going to feel good as a musician knowing that you stuck true to yourself then.
Yeah, I think I am lucky in that regard because I didn't grow up here, so I didn't grow up with Triple J, and Triple J have actually like liked my music before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think if things were different, I would maybe write for Triple J a bit more, just because my music is probably like marketable for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, they have never put me on rotation, so who knows?
But I think that's really interesting because, like, with you having that different perspective of being outside of Australia and coming in, like, that's very unique.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, how do you, like, knowing some of our mutual friends that are, who've, like, lived here their entire lives, like, do you see any differences with their, you know, music trajectory or just like, you know, their music background versus yours and kind of like where things are going?
It just depends. Some friends are very marketable for Triple J, but then other friends write grassroots music that I don't see Triple J would play, but then PBS or Triple R would love it.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and they stick to that, which is amazing. And that's why I love their music so much, because it is so authentic and so real.
Yeah. What do you think matters more, just in like your opinion, getting played on community radio or that larger commercial radio?
I don't know, like, for, I think in my personal opinion, I like it when community radio plays my music, but obviously if Triple J would play my music, I would get exposed to a much larger audience, because that is nationally and a lot of people listen to Triple J still. So it's, I think it is important to still try and hit that target.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it, you shouldn't write music to be able to be on the radio.
Yeah.
And like, if they will play it, it is very gatekept. And like, when you lay it out like that, it is, they can change an artist's future.
Yeah. And it's not to say that it's necessarily like a bad nor good thing. It's just the whole observation of like, okay, we know that people want to get more exposure, but also in realizing that commercial radio, especially this one that gets brought up all of the time, is so significant. It's like, how do you like
tailor to that?
Yeah. But also,
and it's a trend. It goes in trends because right now surf rock is major.
Yeah.
But like 5 years ago, like Angus and Julia said it, like they were the first people to get folk music on the radio. And then after that period, like a lot of folk was played on Triple J. So it's like a trend.
Kind of like whatever is most popular, like just within Australia.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's so hard because Australia is known to really not care about Australian music unless you've got some overseas success.
Yes, but I literally just had that conversation a couple hours ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard because I'm not from here. Yeah. So then do I have to leave in order to get some success here? Like, what do I do?
It's like, what does that mean to have that international success when
But it's the same in Belgium. Like, it's... And like, I haven't cracked it there yet because that was wrong English. I haven't cracked the code.
Yeah.
I will crack it at the radio. Yeah, because I, for the longest time when I released my album, I hit up because we have a big radio station in Belgium, which is the equivalent of Triple J.
Yeah.
And it's also very gatekept. So I was emailing them and I was like, hey, I'm from Belgium, but I moved to Australia. I have a story. Like, I literally wrote this song about my granddad, who was a cyclist in Belgium. Mm. He passed away. I wrote this song.
Yeah.
And then they played it once. And that's it.
Mm.
And they were like, the new Gotye. Because Gotye was from Belgium, lives in Australia. And I was like, my music sounds nothing like Gotye. But it's like an angle.
Mm.
And then I thought that was going to be my in. But I think because I don't have a team... And it's just me. No one really cares about it. So you, but now I'm going back and I'm supporting like a really big artist, which I'm so proud about.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try again. Yeah. I'm going to be like, hey, remember me. Like, you played me once.
Just this one time and I would like you to play
me
again.
I'm my own manager. But here I am. But that's the thing. We just have to, as independent artists, it never stops.
Yeah.
And like, I'm so tired, but I know that I'm going to be sending these emails until like 3 a.m. this week because it's on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And then on the, you've given me lots of goodies. I'm just trying to figure out like, what question do I ask next? So we could talk about real fast, like, goals that you have. So like, do you have one current short-term and one current long-term goal that you would like to share?
Yeah, I think my long-term goal has never changed and it will never change unless I hit it, which is to have a sustainable career just from music for me and my band members.
Yeah,
because I look at people like the Teskey Brothers. They put their musicians on a salary and that's like amazing.
That's crazy, actually.
Yeah, I don't quote me on that. I don't know if it's Teskey Brothers, but there are artists out there.
But the fact that they can do that.
Yeah, that they can live on tour and they put people in houses, they bring their family. That's my goal.
Yeah.
Like, to just live comfortably off music.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to be famous or anything, but I think that comes with some, like, I think to be able to financially sustain yourself, that comes with some kind of recognition.
Yeah.
Either from fans or from, well, I guess it's from fans because they ultimately pay for your career.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's like my long-term goal.
Yeah.
Obviously win a Grammy, but that's dreamland.
You never know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And like, I always just like put my goal so far that I'm like, I'm never going to hit this. And then I sometimes hit it and I'm like, oh my God. Short term, I don't know. Like, I entered for the Music Victoria Awards.
Yeah.
That was a goal for my album. Haven't hit it yet, but the album cycle isn't over yet in that regard. So who knows? Maybe I'll get a nomination.
Yeah.
That was my, like...
When do they start to evaluate? Do you know?
I think it's right now because the deadline was at the 19th of July. Okay. So, yeah, who knows?
Fingers crossed.
Otherwise, it's for the next album.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If I see no or like a rejection as like next opportunity.
Oh God, I've had to train myself in that as well.
I say that very lightly because there's still moments for myself.
Where oh my God, of course. I literally got a rejection email this morning and I was like, well, and each time I get an email, I'm like, oh, I'm getting rejected again. And then I open it and sometimes I get it and I'm like, oh my God, I won this thing. Yeah. Even festival emails, I just open it and I'm like, oh, another rejection. And then I got a festival like last week and I was like, oh my God, yes.
Yay.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting some wins there.
Yeah. I actually, like, it just comes in like pairs always. Yeah. Like, a few weeks ago, a lot of... I know that guy. I have ADHD. No, okay. Yeah, it just always comes in pairs.
Mm.
The bad and the good.
Yeah. And then that brings up the next question, actually. And this is entering the whole part about being a musician here in Melbourne.
Mm.
What are three challenges that you've experienced since being a musician here?
Do not overplay, because I think when I first got here, I played everything and everywhere and I said yes to everything. And then I think people just started, like, they stopped asking me to play gigs.
Oh,
because I think in Melbourne, it's very much seen as if you play every week, your value goes down. Which I think is a bit strange.
Mm.
But I also get it, because if you do a headline show, you'd rather have 400 people at the same venue than 40 people at 10 gigs.
Yeah.
Which is something I had to learn. I think that was my biggest struggle in like changing my mindset over that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing, I think because there's so much talent here, it's very easy to like compare yourself and be like, I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Which again, I had to really train myself and stop doing that.
Yeah.
Because you meet your heroes here and you like, I would have never thought that I'd be friends with people that I like knew from back home, like knew their music. And now I'm like in their circle.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Mm.
And I love their music. But yeah, just don't compare yourself, because it's not healthy.
Yeah.
And you can actually, I spoke to Support Act when I was really down, and then someone told me, actually shout out to Jim Laurie, he told me you can't compare yourself to anyone else, because they will never be you and you will never be them.
Right.
Which is so true.
Yeah.
And it's like stuck with me. So I stopped comparing, because it's just not worth it.
No.
And then a third struggle, I don't know, in winter it's really depressing here. I think I've been not playing gigs, and then like it's a thing of like, am I still a musician if I'm not doing anything? Yeah, so winter procrastination.
Yeah,
especially deep hole.
So it's like the whole thing of learning to like say no to certain things, just because there are so many venues here where you could have the potential of being overplayed, which is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing of what you just said with like winter.
Yeah. Or like even everything's far, like touring. Yeah. It's like, it feels like different worlds.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So season and size.
And then the other side of that is, what are three ways that being a musician here has helped you in your career?
Oh, the community. Like, it's the thing, because there are so many musicians, you can make so many friends.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And I love so many people here, and so many musicians have such talent, and like half of them don't even know it. So yeah, that's definitely the biggest plus. Mm. I don't think I've ever seen a community like this anywhere else in the world. And then again, like, just because there are so many opportunities, like it's like a double-edged sword, because the fact that there are so many opportunities means that you will get something eventually.
Yeah.
So definitely that. And I don't know. I think the fact that Australia is English speaking and has ties to America and the UK, I think for me it has been really helpful to be able to develop my even my songwriting, because I am not English and I like I'm learning to express myself through songwriting in a language that is not mine. So yeah, definitely that. And then hopefully one day get a career in the US and the UK through here. Who knows?
Yeah, I can see all of that. And like, especially like with the amount of opportunities that you can have here, which ties into like that challenge part too of like figuring out like, where do you find that balance? But then even because of having those opportunities, you do get to meet some really cool people.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I think also as an outsider coming into Melbourne, I think it's really interesting just because I agree so much with the community aspect. Like back, like in my home state of Indiana, there's not, I mean, maybe I just haven't found it there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking in Belgium as well, because I haven't really tried there.
Yeah. So it's like, don't really know what's going back in my home state very much. I struggled to find that in London, but then coming here and being able to like develop these friendships and everything just through going to different gigs and everything has been a vast, I mean, a really huge 180. Like, I've not experienced anything like this at all. It's very, it's lovely. Very lovely.
Very lovely.
And then I'll ask you one last question. When you think about living in the city, do you think it can give you a sustainable path for your career? Why or why not?
In this city?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have been doing that for the last 5 years. And I think that's why I stayed, because I wasn't meant to stay here. And then I happened to stay and get a visa. Yeah, I think I am finding comfort in my career right now, because I am learning to be content and learning to be fine with working in a bar and being like, okay, this is what my life is. And like every music opportunity that comes my way, I'll grab it with both hands and be grateful. But I've definitely hit rock bottom before, and I've definitely wanted to quit a few times, more than a few times even. But I think in the long term, I cannot see myself do anything else. So I'm happy that I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm happy that I'm writing music.
Yeah.
And I will keep putting out music, even though it's really expensive and really hard. But I just don't see myself do anything else. And I've met some cool people throughout the way, and they're going to help me record some music, which is nice. And yeah, we're just, I don't know. It's not like, ultimately, it's a very big privilege to be making music. And like connecting through music is very special. So I consider myself very lucky. I don't know. Even though it can be really negative and dark sometimes, I am still overall very like happy to be in the music industry.
There's a little light in the
dark.
Amazing. And one thing that I did not ask earlier that I do want to ask now is, how would you describe the genre that you're in and the scene?
Ooh, well, I always try and be genre bending.
Ooh, yes.
But I think I'm growing into alternative indie rock.
Beautiful.
I used to be like a very small singer-songwriter, folk artist. Never wanted to play with a band because I didn't feel like it was true to myself. But then I started playing with a band and I was like, oh my God, like, there's a whole new world. So now I just like write with a band in mind. I've learned throughout the year that my band is like, it can be tailored to any event. So it's like, it's still me, but then my band are session musicians who happen to be like my best friends. And we have so much fun. So I like would love to play band gigs all the time. But then sometimes for money reasons, I'll play solo. So it's like, Yeah, a bit grungy.
Yeah.
90s cool. rock.
Oh, yeah. That's so fun.
You heard my music.
I know I have, but I'm like, in terms of like, I love hearing how people describe their music.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I have an idea of how I would categorize it, but then it's like, I want to hear.
Yeah, is it correct? Like what I described?
I mean, I'm not the one making the music.
I guess it's like, I guess it's just like, grunge singer-songwriter, I would say that.
Okay.
Alternative.
Yeah. That feels that's right so from when big. I'm I don't listening know.
So broad.
No, it's good.
Nirvana.
Nirvana-esque.
Nirvana-esque.
By Romney.
Kafka. No, Kafka is too much. Yeah, anyway, that's it. Maybe.
This has been so fun. Do you have any questions for me before we wrap this up?
I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this.
Oh.
But I guess I'll read it in your paper.
Yeah. Plus, we can always have other conversations about it. Well, I would like the one thing I will say is that it's been rather interesting in terms of just seeing these different trends of like the challenges that people are facing and how it all ends up being tied to live music in its own way, especially since...
Of course, that's a moneymaker.
Yeah, exactly. And then...
Makes sense.
There's these larger conversations that are happening with other people from like APRA or even like Big House Studios and like all, everyone else.
Oh, I love Quincy.
Yeah, and they're great. And this whole thing of figuring out like, well, how do you revive live music after COVID? And that's kind of the issue right now. It's just figuring out like, what does that mean? And a lot of it's like income based, but it's just this really swirly little thing. But the one thing I found to be really, really nice, and this is going to be a big thing that I end up like talking about in my paper, is just how, yes, there are these external things that the music industry states are important, and that's all that revenue-based thing. But the thing that is not necessarily getting overlooked, but the thing that does need to get supported is the artist development, because that's that cultural bit. That's the part that comes from internally for musicians, because in order to, you know, get people to maybe get outside of Australia for touring or whatever that may be.
Well, that's the thing. I had a call with Sounds Australia. This is off the record. But they're like, I was like, can you put me on a showcase?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to Europe and I'm supporting this big artist. And they're like, well, what have you got to prove? Like, you didn't get into any of the showcases. And like... We like have locked everything in with artists that are showcasing. And I'm like, but how, like, can you just tell me how I need to get there? Or like, where are the opportunities?
Yeah.
And then I basically got the answer. You have to approach people and then they'll come to you. But it's like, I can't do everything.
No.
And I need support. And like, I'm asking for help. I'm asking for financial help. But people from the government will only support people financially who have that kind of...
Yeah.
sustainability already. And it's like, but how? Like, it's like applying for a job where you need 5 years experience, but then you can't get a job because you don't have 5 years experience.
The entry level of the music industry.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because the gap's getting bigger.
The
big artists are coming down to big sound, but then like, where do the baby artists live?
Yeah. And continuing with off the record, I strongly agree with that, because it's been really interesting with like some of the things, like there's that revive policy, which created Music Australia, and their whole thing is like looking into like, how do you create more funds for Sounds Australia? But then I go back to the conversation I had earlier in the year with Esty.
Yeah.
And her thing was talking about like, oh yeah, they do want to get people to be exported. But the issue
just
is like
looking at each other and like being
But the thing is that she was saying that they realize they have to do local artist development.
And they don't want to do that?
Like, they're trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
But what if people's end goals aren't to be exported? Then it's like, well, it does change how you do artist development in a way.
Yeah.
But the fact of like, in my viewpoint, it seems like they are almost skipping over the emerging or developing musicians who need that artist development and immediately just going over to like people who are getting, this is just again just music industry in general, that whole like, how big are you on socials and all that type
that's
of
the thing.
Thing
like I don't have that following.
No, and I don't think, again, in my opinion, I don't think it's a fair criteria to put anybody under, because it's like, some of these people that have those like high followings aren't very good.
Yeah, they've never performed live. No. Or they're like, yeah, that's a thing. Like these people from TikTok perform at a venue, they've never played live. No. No one's there because they only know 20 seconds of the fucking TikTok song. And then it's like, I know how to put on a live show. Just put me on the lineup.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was actually talking to George and Fenn about that because I did the Wild Turkey thing last week. And I know how to put on a live show. So I was like in my element during the live thing. And then I was like, fuck, if George and Fenn would be here, they put on such a good show.
Yeah.
Because they've performed live so many times. I know. And they do it so well. So it's like this weird thing of like people who are famous on the internet. And then like,
I agree. And like, I've told Finn this as well, where it's like, I did a whole, like one of my papers I did was all like artist development. I focused on him because I thought it was really interesting where it's like on paper.
He should be famous. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's like, I don't understand like why there's not the development like he needs to have, like, or like, let me rephrase that. He has exactly what it takes and he has a good career, but I don't understand what is happening around that where it's like, or like, you know, in comparison to like, we talked about like Bones and Jones, they were like around like the same level. It's like, what's the difference with it? And I don't really see a difference. So it's like, how do you find and get these people like the opportunities that they need? And it's like, just understanding what visibility means and how do you get that? It's just, I think all of my friends who are talented musicians deserve a lot more recognition.
Yeah.
It's just about how do you get that? And I think a lot of it's just ending up now with live music. But if you don't have the ability to make new music because you have to pay to record anything, then it's a slippery slope. But I hope to see some change.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
One day.
No, it's nice that you're caring.
It
feels good.
Yeah.
Obviously, we had a lot of fun talking to each other and being able to explore this topic and unpack what is happening in her career. Since this conversation, which happened in late July, she has had a lot of cool opportunities pop up that deserve recognition. And the best way for you to see what's happening with her is to head over to her Instagram page, where you'll get all the deets in the most Romany fashion. Let me know your thoughts and questions about this episode by heading over to the pod's Instagram page at Rockin' and Talkin' Pod and leaving a comment under the post that goes with this episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back for more Rockin' and Talkin' in 2 weeks.